Well, for those of you who know, today is Gospel Sunday. A Gospel Sunday is a great opportunity to not only hear how the gospel is working in the lives of people, but also it's an opportunity for many of you to get to know your brothers and sisters a little bit more in this church, to see how God has been working throughout their lives ever since they were born. And I personally love Gospel Sundays because it's an opportunity to really see personal experiences of how the good news of Jesus has impacted and transformed their lifestyle, their hearts, and what led them to church and now to serve God in this community. So I'm excited for that, and I hope you guys as well. So we do this on every fifth week. There's a during the month, and just another great opportunity. So without further ado, let me invite our first guest. Our first guest is one of our youth co-workers, and she's been doing that for a year or so. And she's a very faithful member of our youth team. She's very sweet, and she's also very good at attention to detail and doing things behind the scenes. And so we invite Rebecca to come up and share. Let's give her a round of applause. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rebecca's the daughter of Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter was ordained two weeks ago at our church, and he's Pastor Peter and his wife Rebecca, who's here. They serve at our North Campus. So, Rebecca, yeah, I know you're pretty nervous, but it's okay, right? Yeah, tell us a bit about yourself. You weren't born in the U.S. You're not like an ABC, but how did you come? How did you come to the U.S., and what was that like for you?
I was born in China into a great Christian family, with both parents being devoted Christians. And my parents are very devoted to God, and they had great faith in the Lord. So the Lord blessed our family greatly, and He gave us an opportunity to come to the U.S. My dad got here first at the end of 2018, and God reunited our family during the summer of 2019. That was also the summer before COVID hit. Like, we didn't know COVID was going to be a thing. No one really did. Only God knew, and He had the perfect timing for us, so we got here in the perfect time. And I started school in the U.S. as a fourth grader. That didn't last long before distant learning became a thing, and it was already pretty hard for me to like learn all this stuff because of my lack of knowledge in English, and it got way, way harder over a screen. But I didn't have that much opportunities to practice or like have that much resources, but God is a God who provides and He helps. So by the time I got back to school, which was as a sixth grader, I caught up to average. That was really a blessing of God. And even though things was really hard for me, but it was impossible because God was working in my life.
Okay, yeah. You mentioned a lot in your testimony that you've shared with me is that you've actually seen a lot of God's faithfulness and greatness working in your family, like in China and in the U.S. Can you give us some examples where something was really out of the ordinary and you're like, even growing up in that environment, you're like, oh, wow, that was something special. Or that was something that's, you know, wouldn't have happened from a natural sense.
Yeah, I actually have two examples. So, like, first of all, how smoothly we came to the U.S. was really God's blessing, and I can really see like God's work from that. And my dad came here first, and my mom, she like never handled the passport thing or anything like that. She had to go to a big city alone to get the visa done, and that could have been hard, but God was helping her, so she got the visa done in 3 days, and then including the journey back in there. And after that, my dad's friend helped us to like buy the plane tickets. I think it was around like $860 for three tickets. That was like really good price, and it was like definitely God's blessing for us. And after we came, it should have been really hard because we didn't have any families here. We didn't have any connections here. And it was like honestly a little hard, but God's like showed His great love through like moving the heart of people from the church to help us. So even though it was hard, but it could have been like much harder if it weren't for God's help. And then another example I have is like when I was in seventh grade. And so like, by the time I got to sixth grade, even though like at that time I could already communicate in English well, but I was like too shy and I like didn't fit in. So it took me a whole semester to find friends in sixth grade. That was like pretty tough. And then by the end of sixth grade, I had to move, which means I had to change school. So my biggest fear at that time wasn't like getting bad teachers or anything. It was finding friends. So on the first day of school, I walked into my first period with like fear, hoping someone would just like come up to me and talk to me, but no one did. So I walked out with like sadness and disappointment into my second period. I sat like down in the empty seat, and this girl, she walked in, and then she like sat next to me. She started talking to me, and she was being really friendly. That was my first friend in the school, and we're still great friends. So even though it might not seem like a big of a deal, but like for me, I really saw God working in that, in these situations.
Yeah, that's really encouraging, especially like coming from China and then moving in a new environment can be quite daunting.
Yeah.
You mentioned your parents a lot in your testimony, and I couldn't help but think of how the role parents play in the faith journey of their kids. We often, I think there's a misconception that in church where parents think, oh, we'll just send our kids to church, put them in a youth program, and they'll turn out fine. But a lot of the intentional discipleship actually happens at home. Yes, there is teaching and there is discipleship through youth leaders and youth co-workers, but the main core, the crux of it, is done at home. And so I want to ask you on that note, what role do you think parents should play as a teenager yourself in advocating and championing your faith?
I would like kind of share what my parents did for me, because I think that was really helpful. So like, first of all, I think parents themselves need to have great relationship with God before trying to influence their kids, because when the parents have faith in God, us as the kids can really feel it. And parents can really be a great part of someone's faith journey, especially at a young age. Starting when I was born, my parents brought me to church. So I say like it's never too early to start. And even though kids might not understand everything, but at least they have it in their heads. And as the kids grow older, I guess the parents can do more. So when I was around six, my dad would often read stories for me and my brother, and then he would pray for us before we go to bed. As we grew older, the stories were no longer like fictional tales, but like missionary stories. That really helped me to widen my view, to like see not only my parents are devoted, but also there are many others who also believe in the same God. So like sharing with kids like about like what God does in other people's life and like your own testimony is very important. And when I was around 10, my dad stopped reading stories because we grew out of it. But he kept up the praying before that time, like a little longer. And around the same time, my parents started family devotions, including worship, reading the Bible, sharing ideas, and praying. And something that like parents can really do is not just pray for the kid and sharing ideas with the kids, but also like let the kids pray for themselves and for others, and hearing the kids sharing their opinions and ideas. Also, family devotions is really important. I think it's really important because it's like a great time for the whole family to get together and then really develop faith in the Lord together as a family. And after all those years, I developed the habit of doing devotion, praying, and incorporating God into my own lives. So for parents, I say like start small, but like never stop influencing your kids.
Yeah, that's. I really agree with that. I think two things that you mentioned, and I just want to encourage all the parents here, is the consistency of bringing your children to church. I think we often think, oh, my kid doesn't want to go to church, you know, like it's okay, just sleep in. Like I've got two kids, and one of them is like on Sunday morning, like she's just like, I don't want to go to church. You know, too bad, you're coming to church. And it's not because I'm a pastor, it's because I'm a Christian. It's because I value this time, you know, and this is something that my parents brought me up at church with, just the consistency of coming to church. Yes, I was sick of it. Yes, I found it boring many times, but it's a constant consistency of coming to church. And then second, the devotional time. Parents, you can never undervalue the importance of family devotions. It's in those family devotions when your kids start asking questions about faith, and it stretches you to be like, oh man, do I have an answer for this? You know, you can't just say, oh yeah, Jesus, oh God, you know, Bible. Like, you start thinking, what does this faith mean for myself, right? Well, these questions that they're asking, you know, I have to start training myself in apologetics. I have to start thinking about stories. And yeah, so I think one thing that I've really appreciated about like you is that I've seen those Christian roots in your own heart and in your service. And I can start to see that as you come to church weekly. I can start to see that, hey, you've been influenced by heroes of faith. And these heroes of faith are like, not just, you know, when we hear great stories of missionaries, but your own parents and the role that they play. As a youth at our church, what's one thing that you love about Hock Wan? And if you were to give one advice to the young people that are listening, what would it be?
One thing I really like love is like when we do highs and lows in our small groups. For people who don't know what that is, it's basically a time where we get to share our good and bad parts of our week. I really like that because you really get to know people from your small group, and then you get to hear what they're going through, what they need to help or like pray about, and what they like and what they dislike. It's also a great time for you to share with them what you're going through and what you need help on. And it's also like a great time to share things that you might not feel comfortable sharing with non-Christian. So, and yeah, it's like a great time to connect with people in your small group. And like, so like one advice I would give would be like, get more involved in church. So like going to fellowships, and then, because it's a really good time to have fun and connect with one another. For me, I really learn more from small groups than Sunday service, but also like go to Sunday service and Sunday schools, because you never know what you're gonna learn, and then what might just help you. And then another way to get involved and learn about God is going to retreats. So like retreats are a good time to just spend time with God and have all that time to learn about Him, and a great time to connect with people and meet more Christians. And then not just at retreats, I guess like connect with Christian community like often are really important, like going to hangouts or like outings, and then just checking on like one another. And also another way to get involved is to serve the church. It doesn't have to be anything like too complicated, like leading Awana or like games or youth. It could just be like setting up chairs or cleaning up or like grabbing Bibles for everyone. It could like be simple things, but like serve because you want to serve, not because you're like, you feel like you're forced to. So yeah, like getting more involved in church.
Yeah, that's really good. On that note, I think the youth group can pack the chairs later and do the lunch tables. As she mentioned, just two things about youth group. The things that really stood out to her was the highs and lows and the small groups. I couldn't help but think of our youth leaders on Friday nights. I really want to champion our youth leaders on these Friday nights, like Kevin Hong, Angela, Jalicia, and Sam. On Friday night, they were had a bit of a debrief after youth, and they were just saying how, like, man, the kids were just horrible today, you know, like, they were just messing around, they were just not listening, they were just, and I thought, you know what, like, that's, not only is that part and parcel of ministry, but there's many ministries that that people do at church, but youth ministry is actually one of the hardest ministries. Imagine coming up with a lesson plan. Imagine coming up with small groups, and then you have all these kids who don't listen and just run around and like make a mess and just talk back. It can actually be quite challenging for the youth leader. So we should never fail to recognize and champion and support these youth leaders. in their ministry so that they don't feel burdened by ministry, but they feel joy of the Lord in ministry. All right? So youth, on that note, stop fooling around on Friday nights and start listening to your youth leaders. They're not doing it for Cain, but they're doing it for your spiritual life. Okay? So, thank you, Rebecca. I know that was quite, it was a bit hard for you, but thank you. I appreciate you for coming up to share a little bit about your experience. Let me pray for you before we head down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rebecca. We thank you for your faithfulness in her life, bringing her and her family all the way from China to the U.S. And Lord, we have seen your work in her life and in her family as she serves you here in the youth ministry. Lord, we just can't help but praise you for bringing friends into her life and bringing all the different parts together so that she doesn't feel lonely or anxious, but she feels much joy and seeing you at work. Lord, we thank you for their family time and the devotional time and the work that their parents are doing in her life. Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you continue that good work in this family so this family can be salt and light unto this earth. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, Rebecca. The next person that I've invited is one of our young adults. He's also interning at our church here in the English ministry. He studies at the Christian Witness Theological Seminary. A lot of you know him. He plays the guitar, and his name is Jaira. So let's invite Jaira up. Now, Jaira, you're interning at the English ministry, but some people don't know that. A lot of people do. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you came about to study theology and get into church ministry.
Okay, so I came here from China mainland, and I grew up at a Christian family, so and I became a Christian when I was a child. And then when I went to college, I had a burden on serving other people in the church. But before that, God led me to the high school and college fellowship. So I very enjoyed serving people there. So then God called me during the COVID. There is a friend of my parents who is also an elder of Taiwan. He supports me to read this seminary. So yeah, I came here.
Yeah, that's really encouraging just to hear you come and share. Like, for those of you who don't know, like, Jared just came in the last couple of years. And like, you learned your English. I love your English here, you know. So good on you, Jaira, for working and for doing that. Growing up, I know you grew up as a pastor's kid as well. Like, your parents were missionaries, and same as Rebecca. Did you have your own experience and struggle of faith? Tell us how you came to that realization that indeed the gospel is good news.
Yes. So, sorry, I have a little bit of notes. Okay. We have a lot of Pastor Keys here, Pastor Ben, Rebecca, and me. And my name is Jaira, which means God the provider. I think God, He has been preparing my road step by step to accomplish his own works. So through both my parents, they are preachers in China mainland, in home church, but the faith of them, their faith could not be passed on straightly to me. I have to experience this Christianity by my own, by myself. So a lot of praise songs, like Near the Cross and another song called Clean Song. It's just a Chinese song. Yeah, their lyrics reminds me that I am a sinner, so I need to be cleansed. But how to cleanse it? But how to cleanse myself? God told me through a booklet when I was leaving my leaving a cardboard in my home. So I read John 3:16 on that booklet and did my determined prayer. Okay. And then I was baptized when I was when I graduated my middle school. Yes,
I see. Yeah. It's good to see that you had your own struggle of faith, and that in your testimony you share that you found this gospel pamphlet like just randomly at home, right, in your room, or. Do you think your parents just put it in there?
Oh, yes, they put it there, but not for me. So for me, becoming a Christian is smoothly. Yes, I don't have some like great vision or something great to return me to this. To this faith.
You mentioned your parents are missionaries in China. What was that like growing up? Well, like, tell us a bit about the joys, the struggles of that.
Okay, so for pastor's kid, I think, yeah, everyone knows you in the church. They will say, oh, this is the son of Teacher Feng and Teacher Wang, because they call the preachers in China mainland a teacher. So, it's a little bit like my parents, they are my contest. And I agree with that. I cannot deny it, because, although they have not spent much time with me, but they affect me a lot. In my journey of growth, no one has had such a profound impact on me as my parents did. So I remember a little story, they always go out for some ministries, so they put me in a home of a sister in a church who is a barber. It's very cheap, barber in that time. It's just 1 yuan in China. It's like maybe 15 cents. Okay. To get a haircut. So I remember they let that aunt to take care of me, and then I will count how many days left for them to get home and take me home. So I will, there is a big tree in front of her barber. English name is Oriental Plane Tree. 中文叫玄铃木. I picked up those leaves of that tree. It's very big leaves, and I will pick the number just as how many days left for my parents to get home. So when I leave at that barber every morning, I will throw away one leaf, and when I don't have any leaves, my parents will get home that day. Yeah. So and pastors are always very strict. So when I make mistakes in school, They discipline me and sometimes beat me. So sometimes when my butt hurt too much, I wanted to run away from home. And I was determined that I would never bring a smile to this world again. Yeah. So of course, I'm just thinking about it. So I will still sleep at home instead of on the street. Yeah. Okay. But when I woke up from sleep and recalled the process of being punished, I knew it was my fault and they were right. So as to continue welcoming the new day with a smile to this world. And not every child who goes up in the church is good and pleasant. Do you agree? Okay. From childhood to today, I have always been aware of my own nature, myself. So I believe that my vanity, my pride, my selfishness, my laziness, and all bad things I have done, all bad words I've said, and those sinful thoughts, they are all in the eyes of my parents. Yeah, so it's very apparent to them, but they still love me. And among them, I saw the invisible Heavenly Father, and I felt what love is. My parents tried to make me believe that I am a gift prepared by God, so they call me Jaira. And this family is where, but they tried to make me believe that, but they failed. This family, I think, is where I don't deserve to be born in. But I was. I was because God wanted to let me know what grace is. Yeah, I'm very grateful that I am the son of my mom and my dad. Yeah. And also, return to the question one, I want to become a minister like them and build a family like them. They are both the model of my service and my marriage.
Yeah, that's really good. When you were sharing about growing up at church, and I couldn't help but have these flashbacks, you know, like, because I probably was way worse than you as a teenager at church. And my parents would make it an example to everyone at church that if my son today, he gets no special treatment, they would like hit me, scold me, and it would be in the presence of people, you know? It's like when we break bread in the presence of people. They're like, break Ben in the presence of people. Yeah, it was so bad. And I remember I just told my brother, I was like, well, Li Jia Tu Tuo too, man. Like, I wanted to pack my bags and just say, I'm sick of this. And I remember like one day I was like thinking of it, and my mom made this like hun dun mian. And I just couldn't leave home because it was just, you know, like, it was just like, it was too hard, you know, like thinking like, if I leave home, this is what I'm going to miss out on. Anyways, but at the same time, there's much joy, right? Because when you're getting beaten, all you can think about is God's grace, right? Yeah, so you do think about the gospel. What's it like studying at CWTS, Christian Witness Theological Seminary, and how as we as a church can support you and champion you going forward?
Well, thank you for that question. For the CWTS, okay, Pastor Luke is not here, right? Okay. it's good. But assignments are a little bit crazy. So I need to try my best because I was not a good student. In China, so I try to become a good student to finish my works in the school. And for our church, what can support me. So for Pastor Ben, I think as my internship mentor, I would be very glad that if you can give me a high grade at the evaluation form. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But that's true. I'm very thankful for, I have get many blessings from our church. many aunts of Chinese ministry, they prepare the food, and they always let me to take the leftovers home. Yeah, so I would be very appreciated if our church order more food continually. Yes. Okay. So, honestly speaking, the most significant thing I get from our church is that though most of you have been very long time in this church, and you are very familiar with United States culture, you still have not regarded me as an outsider. Yeah, you welcomed me sincerely. Yeah, so I'm very grateful. And what can support me is that pray for me that I could cherish what I have now, my time, my young time, and my resources in this country, which has the most great theological education, and this environment of religious freedom. Pray for me that I will not waste all of this and equip myself.
Yes. Yeah, thanks, Jared. Yeah. Yeah, he'll definitely be getting a high evaluation. Yeah, because the seminary professors, they send me all these forms, and I just don't like reading all the forms, so I just take perfect. So you'll be fine. Thank you, Jaira, for your time, and we will continue to champion you as we see if you serve more and more and come to love not only our congregation, but also come to love the U.S., thank you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother Jaira. We thank you that you led him to the U.S. to study at Christian Witness. We thank you that you have brought him to our English ministry to come and to learn and to serve your people here. Lord, we're grateful and so thankful for his humor, for his love, for his tenderness, and for his heart to serve on the worship team and also in the young adults and youth ministries. Lord, we thank you for providing for him all the time. And Lord, we continue to ask for your blessing upon him in those seasons of doubt and in those seasons of struggling with his work at school. Lord, may you give him wisdom and clarity and give him strength to continue on. Lord, we thank you. Again, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jaira. Last but not least, we have one of our adults in our English ministry, Yong Liang. I had to make sure I get that right, because in the Chinese before I was like, hey, where's Yong Liang? And everyone's like, who's Yong Liang? And I'm like, you know, Yong Liang, Da Chen De Tai Tai. And they're like, no. And they're like, Yong Liang. I was like, okay, yeah, Yong Liang, right? Yeah. So, okay. Yong Liang, your story is a bit different to Jaira and Rebecca. You didn't grow up at church as a missionary's kid or anything like that. You actually grew up as an atheist in China. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, first I want to thank you, Ben, for inviting me. And it's really a great honor and pleasure for me to be here to share my stories and what God has done in my life with you.
I was grew up in the mainland China. I was born during the Cultural Revolution. So as the majority people of my generation in China, I was raised as a non-religious, an atheist, a so-called materialist, 唯物主义者. We believe that basically the matter was the substantial subject of the nature. We believe man can conquer nature, 人定胜天. And we believe that our destiny was in our own hands, and the meaning of life was given by ourselves. So yeah, based on this, I kind of like, you know, I basically, I always kind of, you know, respect the people who worked hard and made progress and looked down on those who didn't. So I tried to kind of arrange and influence the things and people around me, try to have everything in my control. I studied hard, worked hard, and I still often worry that I couldn't do everything well and worried about my future and my family. Basically, I have no peace at my heart. Mm-hmm. I noticed I was very scared of death because I scared of this unknown state after death and worry about the life of my family without me. That basically was my situation.
Wow, yeah, it's very different to ours. When you mentioned the Cultural Revolution, you were brought up, I think a lot of people were like guessing, like, oh, how old is Yong Lian? Like, isn't Cultural Revolution like really, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, for you guys, yeah, it's kind of like.
Yeah. So with that upbringing, when was the first time you ever came in contact with Christianity? And how did that develop as you migrated to the States?
Yeah, the first time I heard about Jesus was in Spain. In the University of Navarra. So you know Spain is a Catholic country. And this university is a private university under a kind of a institution called Ops Dei, Work of God. It's under a Roman Catholic Church. So there, when the first time, you know, someone preached the gospel to me, the first question I asked was, how do you prove the existence of God? My question was really surprised him. I still remember he asked me back with round eyes, kind of, you know. I said, how do you prove there is no God? Yeah, I actually never thought of it, you know, this way. So then I put aside my kind of preconceptions and kind of, you know, listened with an open mind. So yeah, actually, once my mind was open, my eyes were. Like the Bible says, you know, since the creation of the world, right, the God's invisible qualities, you know, his eternal power and divine nature actually is clearly been seen, you know, being understood through the what has been made. So, yeah, once, you know, I really opened my eyes, I actually can see the evidence of God's existence everywhere in the universe and in human nature. I myself is a biologist. I know how delicate the structure of a cell is, let alone, you know, a tissue, an organ, and the whole organism. Yeah, so after then, the existence of God is no longer a problem with me. So, and then, so the devout, I noticed the devout Catholics, they were very friendly and have self-control. They were willing to help other people and do good things. And often when I ask why you're so nice, you know, they always say, yeah, if I go to heaven. Yeah, I observed the positive impact of Christian faith on people's life. Even in the kind of, you know, for the little kids. I still remember one day I saw two little boys playing in the playground. So then while they're playing, they started to fight. So basically they kick each other. And suddenly one boy said to another, don't you want to go to heaven? Yeah, then they stopped kicking. And then they get back to play, you know, together peacefully. So really the good deeds of the Catholics, you know, made me kind of irrationally agree and accept their faith. So then I got baptized, actually become a Catholic. But I didn't practice much. Soon you know, I left Spain and I came to United States in the University of Chicago to do my postdoctoral research. And then one Christian sister in my apartment building, she approached me. She told me, believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Don't believe in Jesus and go to hell. I actually was shocked by his statement, by her statement, because before I just thought, you know, Christianity was just one of the good religions that led people to heaven. So I didn't realize it was the only way for, you know, our salvation. So I just didn't like the exclusiveness. Yeah, then plus, you know, at that time I was very busy with my research work and taking care of my little son, Howie. So then I almost stopped pursuing my faith in Jesus Christ. So I only occasionally went to church during the holidays when my neighbor invited me. But every time I went to church, the sermon and the Bible verse always kind of, you know, touched me and impressed me. So then in year 2008, I got a job in Bay Area. Then I moved here with my little kids. My husband joined us about three years later. So at that time, I decided I would take my kids to church regularly. And later I realized that was the best decision I've ever made. And my friend brought me to Hawk One. Yeah, I was lucky. And I joined the North Rock Fellowship. So it's the the former kind of, you know, fellowship of the current John Light Fellowship. Then I started to kind of, you know, participate in the Sunday worship and attend the adult Sunday school classes and fellowship Bible studies. So through all this, I got to know the Bible more and more and know the salvation better. Yeah. And I became more and more sensitive to my sins. And during those times, also, I really experienced a lot of things. You know, God's really protect and carried me at that difficult time. So, and also, the kind of the life witness of the brothers and sisters around me really kind of let me see the real meaning of faith. And also, you know, myself changed. I didn't worry anymore, you know. I have peace in my mind because I know it's not me, it's God, it's the Lord. He's in control of everything. And I'm not fear of death anymore. So, yeah, another is like, you know, I see my son's change. My son was very rebellious, actually. Yeah. He transformed from disobedience to obedience.
Are you sure?
He used to, like, I know the Sunday school teachers at those days, they knew very well. Yeah, so he used to yell at me, you know, he said, it's a free country. I still remember him at that time because he yelled at me in Chinese. He said, 这是个免费的国家. At first, I didn't really know what he's saying. And then he said, it's a free country. Yeah, he just wants freedom. Yeah, and then later he really changed. One day he told me, you know, very calmly said to me, he said, Mom, I totally disagree with you. But since you are my mom, I'll still listen to you. So I was so touched. I can see his change, you know, really Bible words really kind of, you know, get into his heart. So yeah, from all those, you know, then I really kind of, you know, repented my sin, and I totally surrendered to the great love and power of Lord Jesus Christ. And then I got baptized the second time here in Hawk One. So about 3.5 years after I came to the church.
Wow. You mentioned in your testimony that a lot of Bible stories and a lot of Bible teachings really captivated you and impressed you, and that affected the way you lived. Like, what can you recall any of those?
Yeah.
Any Bible stories in particular?
Yeah, I would say the first is kind of, you know, the Bible verse about the true meaning of love in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. You know, it says, love is patient, right? Love is kind. It's not, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not, you know, proud. So it doesn't dishonor others, you know. It's not self-seeking. So yeah, it doesn't kind of record wrongs, you know, and like all those. I actually, if I think back, you know, read one by one, I noticed that I actually really don't have much love in myself. So I didn't do any of this well. Although I used to think I'm a loving person, I'm a righteous person, but now I really can see that, like Paul said, I'm the chief sinner, you know, chief of sinner. So it's really, the God's love really humbled me. So now I have to learn the way how Jesus loved us. You know, the way God loved us is like this. When we were still sinners, he died for us. So his love is kind of self-sacrificing love. So think of this, I really feel like I really have a great balance in loving each other, especially loving my family members. Yeah. So I think this is one thing. So another is like, you know, the Bible verse about submission. So like in the Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband like you do to the Lord. You know, the education I got was woman's hold up half life, half sky. So you can imagine how hard it was for me to submit to my husband. So I used to thought that only, you know, I submit to my husband only when he has done things right, only when he deserves it. So now I know that I submit to my husband, it's not because he deserves it. It's because the authority God gave him. So actually it's submit to the Lord. So after I understand this, it's actually become easier for me to submit. And when I really do so, I noticed my husband loves me more and our relationship gets better.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, I'll fact check that with Dalton later.
It's a very hard lesson, so yeah. I'm still learning. I do need the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's really good. When I have conversations with Emily, she does share that you've played a big role and impact in her life, in her faith. And so I know she's gone off to college now, so you must be like feeling like quite lonely at home, but
yeah,
pretty good marriage with Dustin, so that's pretty good. Huh? So how can we support and pray for you in this season of life?
Yeah. I'd like to ask you pray for the spiritual growth of our family, especially for Emily. She just started college. So yeah, pray for her mental, her basically physical, mental and emotional health.
Yep.
And also pray for my husband and I for my future kind of church and ministry in the North Campus of Hawk One.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Yonglin. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We thank you that before we were born, you have chosen us. In love, you have predestined us to be your sons and daughters. We thank you that you have shown us great love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter the seasons of our lives, no matter the journey, Lord, you have a great way of pulling us towards yourself. And Lord, we've seen that work done in Yonglin. We've seen that work done in her family. And Lord, we just continue to ask for your faithfulness and for your work to be done in Emily at college. Lord, we know that it can be a testing time for many young people, but Lord, we know that you are true and that you are faithful. Lord, we also pray for Yonglin's service and ministry at our North Campus. Lord, may everything that she does and says be a blessing to the church and to this community. Lord, we thank you for her. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Johan. Thank you. Yeah, it's really wonderful to see how the gospel impacts our church and our community members. But more importantly, we need the gospel to impact our hearts and flow through our hands. I think the problem with many people in the church today is that the gospel can merely stay from a head knowledge, but it doesn't connect to our hearts. It doesn't touch the recesses of our souls, and it doesn't flow towards our hands. But if you notice in all these testimonies, we've seen the gospel penetrate the heart, penetrate the mind, penetrate the hands. And so it's encouragement for all of us. As we come to church, as we listen to the gospel, as we hear these stories, we got a question. Is the good news of Jesus Christ impacting my passions, my will? Is it flowing out in my hands and in my actions towards one another? And only when that is done, our church community, our culture, our society, everything changes because Christians are living out the true religion. All right, so let's pray and let's finish today. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear how the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ has impacted Rebecca, Jaira, and Yolian. We thank you for the work that you've done in their lives, and we continue to pray for your blessing upon them and in their ministries. Lord, we also pray for ourselves that we may be impacted by the gospel, and that gospel of Jesus Christ can come and penetrate our hearts and impact the way we live in today's culture. Lord, we know that you are with us all the way. You have never forsaken us, but you will always continue to teach us your ways and lead us back to the truth of your word. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, help us to respond in this moment with our lives offered up to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's invite the worship team and let's respond. And let's stand together in worship.
For your glory, Lord.
Just a couple of important announcements. Next Saturday, October 5th, from 7 to 9, we have a joint worship evening here in the social hall with Chinese ministries and English ministries coming together to worship, to pray. And it's just a great opportunity for you guys to come and listen and to pray and to just find rest during this time. So that's next Saturday. Another important announcement is on October 6th at 4:30 p.m., one of our ministry partners, Operation Dawn Ministries, a drug rehab center in Gilroy, is having their 20th year anniversary celebration at River of Life in Santa Clara. And so as our church, well, we support them.